two words describe the situation: isolation and invasion. Before you got saved, you were living on an island of isolation, as it were. And isolation, we are likened to an enemy-held island. We are living a life of isolation. The Apostle Paul put it this way: remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreign to the covenant of the promises. And this part is important: without hope and without God in the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Important verse to remember. Might want to write it down. But then it came after isolation all these years, and some of you might have been a few years. Maybe you got saved when you were young, but for some of you it might have been many, many years. And I've seen people that in many, many years come to know Christ. But there came a time that I call invasion. Invasion. And just back a few verses, the Apostle Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of this darkness, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And Paul is informing us that a spirit used to have powerful influence over our lives. The evil spirit all around us has a power on our lives. But then another spirit invaded us from outside. We read in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God brought about the time of our conversion. The Holy Spirit entered our lives. How many here have the Holy Spirit? You have the Holy Spirit? If you have not the Holy Spirit, you're not one of His. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, and you belong to Almighty God. So the Holy Spirit entered our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9b. And the battle of life was begun. God established a beachhead in your life, and His Holy Spirit is out to take the entire island of your life. That's what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do with your life and mine. Take charge of the entire beachhead, as it were, of your life, your island of your life. This conquest we call the sanctification of the believer. Are you being sanctified? Are you being set apart more and more every day under the power of the Holy Spirit of God? That's what it's all about. The Apostle Paul put it this way: and this is the will of God. What's the will of God? Even your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. We have a scripture for everything that we're saying this morning. We're not just giving you man's philosophy. We're giving you the Word of God. The battle is on. In fact, it is a lifetime of battles and conflicts. And the victory does not come about because we receive more of the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Spirit, you receive all of the Spirit. He didn't come to your life and say, well, here's part of it, later part of it will come later. No. The victory does not come about because we receive more of the Holy Spirit, but as He receives more of us, that is, we turn over to Him our spiritual lives, our plans, our ambitions, our jobs, our family, our finances, our habits, helpful and harmful, our desires, good and bad, and our doubts. As we yield these areas of our life to the Holy Spirit, the battle rages on, because the enemy doesn't want you to get stronger in the Lord. And so the fight goes on. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Thank you for reading, Helen, for reading that portion this morning. Some days we feel like we lost it all. We're defeated. We're discouraged. We're disquieted. In fact, we seem to be losing more battles than winning. So what's the good news? The good news is the enemy has been defeated. You believe that? Yes, he has been defeated. Colossians, turn your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. And what does it say in Colossians chapter 3? Chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just go to the cross and say, well, I hope we get this thing over with. No, when Christ went to the cross, he paid it all. He did it all. He gave his all for you and for me. But your victory and mine can only come as we allow Jesus Christ to live and act through us. We dare not fight the enemy in our own strength, using our own strategies. You do and you lose. It is God's strategy and God's strength that gives you the victory. But first, who is my enemy? Who is my enemy? Well, let's find out. Let's first of all look at our enemy's character. Who are we up against? And our sister read in Ephesians chapter 6, we're up against who? The devil. We're up against Satan. Your battle is against spiritual beings led by Satan himself. Well, who is Satan? You ready for the answer? Why, he is the little red elf who stokes the coals of hell with his pitchfork. You believe that? Why are you smiling? That's real, isn't it? That was written by a young girl in which she described who Satan was. And I thought that was cute coming from a young girl. And that was so neat. No. Would you be afraid of a creature like that? Maybe he's a mere force of evil. Or he's a being with personality. Could be ugly or could be beautiful. Some have said Satan is a myth. Others are convinced he's a reality. Is Satan harmful or harmless? Beautiful or ugly? In hell or out of hell? All powerful, limited in powerful? Let's check the scriptures and find out. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 14. You say, why are we going to the Old Testament? Because that's where we learn all about the origin of Satan, the origin of the evil one. Isaiah chapter 14. verses 3 to 23. We're not going to look at all these verses this morning. Here is a prophecy against the king of Babylon. Isaiah sees through the earthly king to the power behind him. His name before he sinned was Lucifer, son of the morning. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So, we learn here, first of all, okay, his name before he sinned, Lucifer, son of the morning. Look at verses 13 and 14, all right? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Okay, his name before he sinned, Lucifer, son of the morning. What was his sin? What was his sin? Pride. Pride. Desire to be number one. To be like the Most High. All right? So that's Isaiah. Now turn a few chapters over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verses 1 through 19, we'll not look at all these verses. A prophecy condemning the king of Tyre. Okay? Look at chapter 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, etc., etc. Verse 14, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stone of fire, and so forth. And then it goes on, and it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All right? Now, Lucifer, before his fall, was full of wisdom, perfect beauty, serving God. What was Lucifer created to be and to do? To be above all the hosts of heaven in power, in wisdom, and beauty. Chapter 28 at verse 12. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Now, to be above all the hosts of heaven in power, wisdom, and beauty, to rule the creation of God. All right? Ezekiel 28, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Lucifer was the greatest among the greatest class of created beings. Now, look at each aspect of his sin. Iniquity was found in thee. Thou hast sinned. Thou hast lifted up. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. So how did God respond? I will cast thee out of the government of God. I will destroy thee. I will cast thee to the ground. Since his fall, the titles Lucifer and Son of Morning have been stripped from the enemy. Think about that. He was Lucifer, he was Son of the Morning. Those two names have been stripped from the enemy. So is that it? Is it all over? No, it isn't. But he has other names. And what do they reveal about him? Well, you go to the New Testament and you come to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, verses 24 to 27, Beelzebub, the prince of demons. The prince of demons, okay? Mark chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, Satan, chief antagonist of God, chief opposer of saints. So he's got other names. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, 15, Belial. What does that mean, Belial? It means worthless, lawless, reckless, personification of all that is bad, all that is evil. That's that word for Satan, your enemy, Belial. You need to be warned. Go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Abaddon, Apollyon, what does it mean? Destroyer. Satan is out to destroy. Revelation 12, 9, the anointed servant called the devil, one who has been around a while and, and led the whole world astray. Greatest of all fallen spirits. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The accuser of our brethren, using the tongue to oppose, to contend. So, be aware, we are not fighting some harmless being, creature. He's not the figment of someone's imagination. He is real. He's real. He has other names. Your enemy's location. Anyone here ever been ambushed? One of the strategies of the enemy is to camouflage himself and wait for the unsuspecting victim to pass by. If you think that Satan lives in hell and is not home on the earth, you're in for some surprises. Question, for whom was hell prepared? For whom was the eternal fire of hell prepared? And what does the Bible say? Matthew 25, 4, for the devil and his angels. Hell was prepared for them. Now, Revelation 20 describes when Revelation 20 describes the coming of Christ the second time. According to 20, 1 to 3 and 7 to 10, what will happen to Satan at that time? By implication, then, where is Satan now? Or where is he not? Where is Satan now? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, and chapter 6, verse 12, say Satan is what? Right now alive. He's working in the children of disobedience. He is the one that kept you from coming to know the Savior, doing everything to do this. According to Job 1:6, he does everything he can to cause us to disobey him. Turn to 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So, he's out to slander you, seeking to cause you to go astray. But more than that, Satan is out to defeat the testimony of a believer. If he can defeat your testimony in any way, shape, or form, that's what he's out to do, to keep you from having a clear, pure testimony before the Lord. Now, there may be an unbeliever here today, or maybe you can look back to the days of your unbelief. The devil uses his access to this planet to do everything he can to lead people away from a personal relationship with God. How does he do this? Have you heard the expression lately? She's good. He's good. I've heard it so many times as a pastor. And so the implication is, oh, he's good. She's good. They must be Christians. They must be saved. He's good. Or, if you don't hear that expression, you hear another expression. He's religious. He's religious. And I've heard it. I heard it just recently, this last month. Well, you have your religion and I have my religion. Beloved, God does not accept religion. The only thing that God accepts is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can be as religious as you want to be. And I heard someone say to me just this past month, well, you have your religion, I have my religion. I'm sorry, I don't have a religion. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And what does it say at the end? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The enemy is out there today. And the big word today is tolerance. We have to tolerate every religion. Just tolerate it. And if you don't, shame on you. No, we have to proclaim our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. So, here is the devil, your enemy. There are four areas of power, and I'm not going to speak to these this morning, but there's the area of the material. Oh, how he likes to work on the material, especially in the life of Job. You remember how God says, okay, devil, you can work on Job. Take this away. Take that away. Take something else away. Boy, he'll curse you. He'll say bad things about you. Did he? No, he didn't. Why? He'll work on the material. He'll do the same in your life too. If he takes things away from you that you cherish, then that makes you to doubt a little bit more the goodness of God. You say, well, maybe God isn't really good to me. Maybe he's taking this away because he just doesn't want me to have it. He wants to make me miserable. The material. And you can go away from that as well. And then in the spiritual, turn to Matthew 13:19. Look at those words in Matthew 13:19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And there are many people that go into the Word and then they start reading it, and then the devil comes along and sidetracks them, and they cannot understand the Word because the devil has brought this about. He doesn't want you to understand the Word. He doesn't want you to know the truth of the Word of God. He wants you to believe a lie instead of believe the truth of the Word of God. So in the spiritual realm, the devil will do everything he can, even on a Sunday morning, to sidetrack you. Don't listen to what he's saying this morning. Don't really believe that truth. Something else to think about. And then in the area of the mental, and the Bible speaks, and I'm not going to go into it this morning, Luke chapter 8 talks about those that have had a mental problem and so forth. And the demons have taken over. And the devil is a demon. And he's out to destroy the minds of men and women. Have you ever been in a state hospital where the mental are incarcerated? When I pastored in New York State, about once a month I went to the big state hospital in New York. And I can't think of the name of the town now, but it's where Ann Adsit was born and raised. If you remember, Ann Adsit used to be here. And I would go over to that state hospital and see people deranged, mentally off balance, and all the rest. It's a sad situation. And so difficult to reach them because Satan wants to keep them in that mental state. But Bible talks about those that God dealt with in Luke chapter 8. And then in the spirit, physical, in Luke chapter 13, verse 11, it says that this woman had the spirit of infirmity for so many years. For so many years. And then Jesus Christ came along and did his business of bringing about release for this woman. He dealt with the physical. And thank God he still does it today. He may not do it for you the way you'd like it, because there are times you would say, well, I wish the Lord would do something for me. I have a problem with my eyes. I have wet macular degeneration. I get two powerful shots every other month, $3,000 a shot. And I thank God for the fact I still can see. But this coming Wednesday, I have two more shots this Wednesday afternoon. And God has a reason why he's allowing me to have that. I have a diabetic condition of the eyes and the feet and that. God knows all about that too. And so one doctor's working on my eyes, and then the week after the Wednesday, the other doctor's going to work on my feet. And it's wonderful how God is so good in the midst of all of this. I thank you for it. So, what limits to power does he have? According to Colossians 1, 15 and 16, why was Christ greater than Satan even before his incarnation and crucifixion? Why? Christ created all things. Do you believe that? Amen. He made you. He made me. Amen. I just praise the Lord. I look out at your sea of faces this morning and say, thank you, Lord, for all these people. They're all different looking. But praise God. He's the creator of all things. All right? Why did Christ's death on the cross utterly defeat Satan? We are reconciled by Christ's death, and we are righteous by Christ's death. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says, we are reconciled by Christ's death. I'm thankful to be reconciled to God through Christ. So no one can keep me from being fully reconciled to God, to be on, we'll use the expression, good terms with God. not in and of myself, but through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And what has Christ done for me then? 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are righteous by Christ's death. Because of what he has done, I have been made right in the sight of God. I am righteous, and not in and of myself, but of Almighty God. Now, how can you let that defeat become real in your experience? How can Christ's defeat of Satan become real in your experience? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Colossians 1, 23. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. What does that mean? That means continue living according to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you stop reading your Bible and meditating in the Word of God, you're getting yourself into trouble because you're not continuing in the faith. And Christ died so that you might continue in the faith. And also, you need to do submit to God. Continue in the faith. James 4, 7, submit to God. That means a daily thing. When you get up in the morning, how do you begin your day? Submit to God that day. I'm yours, Lord, to command. And then what? Resist the devil. Continue in the faith. Submit to God every morning and through the day. I'm yours to command. And then resist the devil. Don't you try to resist the devil on your own and get up and say, well, I don't have any trouble with the devil. Listen, he has ways of taking you down and taking me down too. And I've seen many a Christian become a defeated Christian because they have not continued in the faith. They have not continued in the Word of God. They don't have a daily Bible reading or they don't have daily devotions with the Lord. You need to continue in the faith, submit to God. Lord, I'm yours to command. Lead me today to do your will. Help me to follow the truth of your word. And then resist the devil. Don't try it on your own first. You need God's help. You need God's strength. You need God's enablement. How important that is. Now, a couple more things in closing. Do you ever stop to think about Satan is limited in knowledge? Satan is limited in knowledge. He predicted that Job would curse God if he allowed Job to be tested. And did Job curse God? There, Satan was limited in knowledge. He thought he knew it all. I know what's going on. No, you don't, devil. You don't know everything. There are some people that are trusting God. They are submitting to God. And you can't do anything about it. Okay? Satan cannot be present everywhere. There's only one who can be present everywhere. And who's that? God. But not Satan. You see, Satan, he had to learn to leave earth to go before God to accuse about Job. So he had to go there. So while he's doing that, he can't be somewhere else. And thank God, you can have victory over Satan. Because he would like to get a hold of you. And we use the expression, make mincemeat out of you. You know, he'd really like to tear you apart. And he's the roaring lion whom he seeks to devour. But he can't if you continue in the faith, submit to God, and resist the devil. That's the procedure. Don't try to do it any other way. He'll get you sooner or later if you try to defeat him on your own. You need to submit to God, because God can be everywhere, and God is all powerful, and he can give you victory upon victory upon victory as you submit to him. What a wonderful God we have. We're living in an evil world, and Satan would like to defeat you and me. Satan would like to bring down this church to nothing. But we need to continue in the faith. We need to continue submitting to God. And then we need to resist the devil and say, no, devil, you're not going to take this church. You're not going to take our lives, because we're going to continue in the Word of God and follow the Scriptures and forever submit to God. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your Word. And we're thankful for this truth that we have talked about this morning. We have an enemy. He would like to bring this church down to nothing. He would like to bring our individual lives to nothing, so that we not have a testimony, a powerful testimony that speaks to the truth of God. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll take serious this morning the reality that we have an enemy, and the enemy goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And he would like to destroy us individually and destroy us corporately as a church. So I pray, Heavenly Father, in these days, that we might continue in the faith and submit to God and then resist the devil. Help us, our Father, to be true to your holy word and to give ourselves unflinchingly to our powerful God, who loved us, gave himself for us, and gives us the help and strength that we need to go on living a life that is pleasing to thee, so that we might be truly sanctified people, set apart wholly to God. I pray this will be true of each one of us here today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.